Good morning. Stand with me. I want to read just from the Gospel of John this morning, and I'm going to read in sequence verses. John 1:10 says, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him." John 3:19, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but the people love darkness instead of the light, because their deeds were evil." John 6:33, "For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." John 7:7, "The world cannot hate you," Jesus says, "but it hates me because I testify that its works are evil." John 12:31, Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. John 12 says, "I've come into the world as light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." John 14:30, "I will not say much more to you, for the prince of this world is coming, and he has no hold over me." In John 15:18-19, "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. And this is why the world hates you." Our Father in heaven, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray, God, that you would speak into our hearts this morning. We've left our homes. We've come to this place of gathering, this place of meeting. This Jesus community gathers in your name. Lord, we are all on this journey of meeting and knowing and following Christ in a daily life. I pray, Father, that you would send your Spirit upon us this morning. That, God, you would open our hearts and allow us to hear your voice. I pray that this would happen for your glory and for your kingdom. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love God would say, amen. And you all may be seated. So, a question for you this morning. Have you ever experienced a time in your life when you see things in the world happening and you feel like you just don't belong here? Have you ever had that feeling? Maybe you're watching the news. You're seeing something and you just look and you just sit there and go, you know what? I feel like I don't belong in this world. I experienced this profoundly earlier this year when the New York abortion laws were passed. Removing restrictions for late-term abortions after 24 weeks. Changing the definition of a person. A person is not a person till after they're born. A little baby in a mom's womb moving around is not a person, according to the New York laws. That people performing abortions outside of the standing laws are no longer to be persecuted in the legal system, but only within the medical community. And watching that all this is happening to the applause of people, and I was watching this. I had my moment. I just don't feel like I belong in this world. Have you ever had these moments in your life? I was just talking about this with Dr. Carr this week because I wanted to make sure I got my data straight. And as we were talking about this, and he was telling me medically what this law was, and we both sat there together and we just said, this is sick. It's wrong. It is clear from the scriptures that life begins in the womb, not after birth. And killing life in the womb is wrong. Psalm 139. Read the laws of Moses. It says in the Torah that if a woman was murdered or killed and she was pregnant, that person that killed that woman would be guilty of two lives, not one. This isn't political. This is a moral issue. Did you know? Look at this. I found this. I think this is a really cool. By the time an unborn child is 18 days, the baby has a heartbeat. 42 days, brain waves are detected. 52 days, hiccups and yawns. 8 weeks, all organs are functioning. 9 weeks, fingerprints. 10 weeks, that baby can feel pain. And in 12 weeks, the baby can smile. These are facts. But still, laws are being passed and applauded for killing of life. I've heard it said by some people that the most dangerous place you can be in America is in a mother's womb. Are they right? There's a movie out right now called Unplanned. True story of a woman, totally for abortion, working in with Planned Parenthood at an abortion clinic. Go see the movie. Go see the movie. Right, Pastor Graham? You just texted to me. Thumbs up, right? It's awesome. It's heavy. She actually assisted in an abortion. And after she did that, her views changed. Go see the movie. This isn't political, it's moral. People, when I see stuff like this, and there's a lot of stuff like this in the world, it reminds me over and over again that I feel like a stranger in this land. I could sing that song. I feel like an alien. The more I live on this earth, the more I feel like I don't belong here. Is that a good thing? This was the topic of Jesus hours before he went to the cross. We've been doing a series at this church called The Last 24. And we've been walking through the last 24 hours of Jesus' life. And we're in our fifth week of this. As we've been journeying through this series, we've met Jesus in the upper room. We've met Jesus sitting there telling his disciples that I've so longed forward to having this meal with you. Jesus washes their feet. Jesus identifies Judas as a betrayer. Jesus begins telling his disciples, I have a new commandment for you. And he says it over and over again throughout the Olivet Discourse or in that upper room setting per se. Love one another. Love one another. A new commandment. Love one another. Jesus begins telling his disciples he's leaving. That radically disturbs them. And as you read the text, as Jesus says, I'm leaving and where I'm going, you cannot follow. They are hurt and wounded and upset. And Peter says, wherever you go, I'll go. I'll die for you. And Jesus says, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times when the sun comes up. He begins telling them he's going to prepare a place for them in heaven. That sounds like a heavy topic, right? He tells them that he's preparing a place for them to be with the Father. He's telling them that he's preparing a way. And then poor Thomas raises his hand. He says, I don't know what you're talking about. What way are you talking about? And Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Philip says, show us the Father. Jesus says, have I been with you so long and you've yet to know me, Philip? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, greater works that you're going to do than what I've been doing because the Holy Spirit's coming into your life. And then Jesus tells them, let's get up from here. Let's walk. And as they walk through the streets of Jerusalem late at night, he starts telling them to stay with him, to abide with him, to remain with him. Because apart from him, they're going to get nothing done. And as they cross the Kidron Valley, they come in the Valley of the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus says these words. If the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of this world. That's why the world hates you. Interesting, right? Can you imagine them going, I have no clue what you're talking about. When Jesus says the world, what do you think he means? I still remember this discussion in seminary with Dr. Anderson. A week-long discussion. What is the world? When Jesus says the world, what do you think he means? Is he talking about the world? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believeth upon him shall not perish, but everlasting life. When Jesus says the world, what does he mean by the world? Is he talking about the cosmos? Is he talking about the trees? For God so loved the trees? What on this earth has the ability of thought, reason, and choice made in the image of God? When, for God so loved the world, what does he mean? When Jesus says the world, what does he mean? 1 John 2 gives us a hint. Listen to this. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. What does Jesus mean by the world? John 1:10 says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Jesus says in John 15 that the world hates him. Think about this. The world hates him, the one who made the world. And he says, they're not going to just hate me, but they're going to hate people who call my name, who follow me. But what is the world? Take notes this morning. And I'll give you cliff notes in Dr. Anderson's class in seminary oh so long ago. You ready? What is the world? The world that Jesus is talking about is the broken, fallen belief system of humanity that lives lives independent of God. Isn't that good? The world that Jesus is talking about is the broken, fallen belief system, a way of thinking of humanity that lives independent of God. Question, who created this fallen, broken belief system? Did God create this fallen, broken belief system? Did humanity create this fallen, broken belief system? Adam and Eve, is there a third person? God didn't create it and you didn't create it. You of mankind. There's a third being that created this system. The devil. A fallen angelic being who blew off God long before we did. A spirit being who in his rebellion to God promotes living life independent of the Creator. Who calls God's goodness into question. Who calls the will of God into question. Who calls the Word of God into question. That's what happened in Genesis 3, right? Go with me, right? Adam and Eve, paradise, perfect. God says, I've created everything for you. By the way, if you want to blow me off, don't eat this. Satan shows up and says, did God really say this? Questioning him. If you eat this, you'll be like God yourself. They look and it looks pleasing to the eye. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. Adam and Eve are deceived. And they eat. And they change. Pastor Frank, if it wasn't for that stupid fruit, we'd be fine. It wasn't the fruit in the tree, it was the pear on the ground. Am I right? Am I right? Three channels of temptation. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life. Totally what John speaks about in 1 John 2. He puts doubt. Satan's trying to draw them away from the truth of God's goodness, to draw them away from their dependence on God, to draw them away from the will of God. Fulfill your needs independent from God. Do it your own way. You don't need Him. Did God really say that? He puts doubt. He tempts them and they fall. People, the issue isn't the apple. What's at stake? The issue is our relationship with God. Our dependence on God and the will of God for our lives. That's what was at stake oh so long ago. The world that Jesus is talking about is a fallen world system of humanity that was set up by Satan to live in rebellion to God, to live in rebellion to God. And this system exists today and we live in it. Take notes this morning. The world that Jesus is talking about is in rebellion to the Creator, controlled by Satan. It's demonic. That's why Jesus calls him the prince of this world. But the prince of this world is coming for me. And he has no hold over me. He can't touch me. But the prince of this world, what are you talking about? He's talking about a fallen angelic being that's in control. Have you ever watched the news? Have you ever seen just horrible things happen and you sit there and go, this evil has to be almost from another realm. You're right. Theologically, there's a demonic influence over this world, according to Jesus, who's not a bad source. Like I say, any guy that can raise from the dead, you ought to listen to him, right? Because he's got to know more than you. The best verse that speaks on this battle is in James 4. The half-brother of Jesus writes in his epistle, and in the fourth chapter he talks about wants and needs and desires and where we choose to get them met. Listen to this. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. Sounds like the world, doesn't it? You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you don't ask God. Well, if you're not asking God, where are you looking for this? And when you do ask God, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend it on to get your own pleasures. You adulterous people, listen to this. Don't you know that friendship with the world, well, what does the world mean? Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? For therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. They're in polar opposites. Wants and needs and desires. Where do we get these needs met? From God or from the world? The word desire in James 4 is the Greek word hedonon, which means pleasure. It's where we get the English word hedonism. What is hedonism? Hedonism is a philosophy that pleasure is the chief goal of life. Outside the will of God. Forget God. He's not good, so get it yourself. Hedonism. Have your needs met outside of any thought of God. People, this is from the pit of hell. And it's a part of the world that we live in today. You have two choices where to get your wants, needs, and desires met. Option one, the world. System set up by Satan. That screams at you to get what you want without even thinking about God. If you need entertainment, go party. Heroin, ecstasy, meth, drug abuse, alcohol, ruin, sexual needs, porn, prostitution, affairs, sex outside of marriage, ruin, money. Provision, lie, steal, cheat, to get what you want. It's all about you and your needs. People are objects to be used for your pleasures. It's a broken, fallen world system of thought to live and get your needs independent of God. You understand? Independent of God. who created you people, who loves you. There's another option. How about seeking our needs, wants, and desires with the Creator who made us? Listen to this. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. John 12:46, I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness, but they're in darkness. If I've come as light. If they believe in me, I'm taking them out. Right? Isn't that good? Jesus calls us out from this empty, broken, fallen world of light to life. To have our wants, needs, and desires met within the communion of the Creator. Didn't we just finish Philippians? Remember this verse in Philippians? And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. All your needs. Romans 12:2 says, Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good, acceptable. Did you know that God's will is perfect? Does God have your best interest in mind? See, but that's the doubt. He doesn't. That's what Satan says. Does God have your best interest in mind? Do you know what the Garden of Eden was? Perfection, beauty, eternal life. Adam and Eve. Joyful work. It was a never-ending honeymoon. In paradise. Does that sound bad? God's will for humanity is good. It's not just good, people. It's acceptable. It's not just acceptable. It's perfect. It's perfect. The world lives in a lie. The world lives in darkness. And Jesus has come to redeem this broken, lost world. To bring truth and light and life into this lost, dark humanity. Isn't Jesus rad? Jesus takes us out of this world and into another world. Jesus takes us out of this world and into another world. It's beautiful. And He says these words hours before He goes to a cross. Do you understand? I mean hours. It's Friday morning early. He's not been arrested yet. He's with His disciples. And He starts telling them, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hates me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to this world, but I've chosen you out of this world. And that's why the world hates you. We are in this world, but we're not of this world. As the world treats Jesus, and where is He going, by the way, ours is saying this? To the cross, people. As the world treats Jesus, He's warning His disciples, as they treat me, they're probably going to treat you pretty bad as well. High propensity of that. And by the way, all the people that heard Jesus say this in the Garden of Gethsemane, all died as martyrs except John, who was boiled in oil and, you know, sent to Patmos, exiled, tortured, but he wasn't killed. Jesus is saying the world system is doing this. And He's warning His disciples. If the world hates you, I just want you to know it's because of me. Why does the world persecute Jesus and His followers? You ever thought about that? Why? Why are Christians being martyred, even today, killed all over the world? Why? What's the point? Take notes. Jesus says, the world is lost and has no proper concept of its Creator. That's why they're persecuting it. They're lost and they have no clue. They're clueless. People are clueless. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember what I told you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will persecute you also. If they obey my teachings, they'll obey yours also. Listen to this. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. They're clueless. They don't understand. They don't understand. This broken, fallen world has no proper concept of God, of His nature, of His heart. That's why it says He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world doesn't even recognize Him because they're lost. What does Jesus say from the cross, people? Remember from the cross? He looks up toward heaven and He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Translation, they're lost. Why do people treat Christians the way they do? Because they don't understand. They don't understand. Take notes. Why does the world persecute Christ and those that follow Him? Because we follow a different set of kingdom values. We follow a different set of kingdom values. If I had not come, Jesus said, and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them the works no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. As it is, they have seen, and yet they have hated me, both me and my Father. They've seen. But this is to fulfill what is written in the law. They hated the Messiah without cause or without reason. By His life, by His words, Jesus rebukes human sin and condemns it. Jesus uncovers the inner corruption and hypocrisy of people. He uncovers darkness. And guess what? People don't like it when you do that. Do I hear an amen? This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds are evil. I don't want you. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, Jesus says, because I testify that its works are wrong. It's ethics. Check this out, people. Sexuality. Money. Love. The value of human life. There's a world system of how you approach these things, and there's another system. Do you understand? Sexuality. A world's way of approaching sexuality or Jesus' way. Money. A world's way of approaching money or Jesus' way of approaching money. Love. A world's way of approaching love or Jesus' way of approaching love. The value of human life. There's a world's way of approaching human life. We don't even exist as people until after we're born. Or there's Jesus' way. And they're in conflict with each other. Ethics. Conflict. Which one's right, by the way? People don't like this. They killed Jesus on the cross. And if you proclaim His name, if you follow Him, some people aren't going to like you either. And this is what's on the heart of Jesus heading up to the cross. Jesus told His disciples that you will be the light of the world. As I am the light of the world, you will be the light of the world. You are the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And as you bring light and darkness, there are some people that love darkness more than the light, and they don't like you. And it's not even you. It's Christ in you. Do you understand this? You're the moon. The moon has no light of itself. It's reflecting the sun. When you live for Jesus, you reflect Christ in a dark world. And people that love darkness don't like that. They don't like it. They don't like it. As we live different lives in this world, trusting God for our wants and needs, People, by our works and our words, we will regularly contradict the lifestyles of those around us. By our personal ethical standards, by our life goals and values, without meaning to, just by you living for Jesus without meaning to, you'll offend other people. Without even meaning to, you're going to offend other people. Your unwillingness to slander, your unwillingness to gossip, your unwillingness, your willingness to forgive other people, you're going to, just by living life with even meaning to, you're going to offend other people. And they're not going to like that. If we live our lives, if we worship Jesus and follow Him, this world is going to persecute you. This is what Jesus says. And He says, by the way, blessed are you when people persecute you on account of Me, for great is your reward in heaven. Isn't that good? What's on the heart of Jesus last hours before the cross? Right before He starts praying big time to where drops of blood comes down from His, He's totally stressed out. But as He's speaking to His disciples, He ends His last words to them. If the world hates you, keep in mind, it hated Me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That's why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute Me, they will persecute you also. If they obey My teachings, they'll obey yours. They will treat you this way because of My name, for they don't know the one who sent Me. People, if you follow Jesus, you are not promised immunity from attack. Jesus is telling us that the world that we still live in, as we begin living for Christ, there are going to be people that will be opposed to you. Does that bother you? Here's a true story. You ready for this one? 2 years old in the Lord. Pastor Frank up here accepted Jesus in the fall of 1985. After reading the New Testament, after coming on a long journey, I finally bowed my knee, accepted Christ. 2 years into my faith, I still remember this as clean as day. I was driving down on the 5 freeway. I was in Santa Ana area. And now Pastor Frank was a rocker. So I liked rock music. I loved AC/DC. Okay? And I had my tape. I'm driving a beautiful, my Corvette, my T-tops are off. It's summer and I'm driving in my car. And I had a tape in that I've loved my whole life. And as I'm driving in this car and I'm listening to this song, I began looking at the tape deck. And I quit driving. And what the guy was singing offended me. And I remember driving and I looked at this and I scowled at it and I hit the eject button and I grabbed the tape and I hucked it out the top of my T-top onto the 5 freeway. Not thinking about littering. I had heard that song since I was 15 years old. Loved it. And yet there it offended me. What happened to me? What happened to me? How come I used to love that song that was so immoral? And yet all of a sudden one day I couldn't listen to it anymore because it offended. What happened to me? As I'm walking with Jesus, I'm being transformed. Out of this world. I accepted Christ. I was born again positionally. It's called positional sanctification. The day I said yes to Christ, all my sins was washed away, past, present, and future. All means all. That's all means. All sin. As I begin walking in this new relationship with Christ, Jesus begins to transform me. Though He's taken me positionally out of the world as I walk with Him, progressively I'm realizing this place is not my home. I can't listen to that anymore. But I, you know what song I love listening to? Petra.
Keith Green.
I remember that song, Petra. I am strangers in this land. And I'm driving, going, Lord, I'm beginning to feel like I don't feel as comfortable in the world as I used to be. The things I used to say, the things I used to do, the people, it's just different. I'm transforming. I used to think abortion was fine as a kid in high school. What a perfect way of dealing with unwanted pregnancies. I've changed. Who changed me? Jesus. Who changes you? He calls you out of this world. And He warns you. Just FYI on this. I created this world. This world didn't recognize me. As a matter of fact, this world I created hates me. And they're going to kill me. If you proclaim my name and you follow my ways, they're going to hate you too. Don't worry about it, Jesus says. I've got this all in control. He says the Spirit of the living God's going to come and dwell within you, and you're going to have a power to live the life that I've called you to live that'll be anything greater than you could ever dream or imagine. Hey, Christian. You're light in darkness. Jesus says you're the light. Behold the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Jesus says that you as His disciples, His followers, you are hope to a lost humanity. And people that love the darkness aren't going to like you. But you keep shining your light because in time all things will pan out. Hey, Christian, don't worry about it. He's in control. Be still and know the Lord's in control. Do I hear an amen? Pray with me as the worship team comes up. Hey, Jesus, I don't want people to hear me. I want them to hear you. Jesus, would you help me to please go away? May your words speak into your people. May your people in here hear your voice this morning and may they see your heart. I pray, Lord God, for you to encourage us, God. As we turn on the news and we watch what we see and our hearts grieve and break, teach us why this is. Help us to understand. Lord, when people avoid us after they find out that we say your name, help us understand. When we're at school and we stand up for Christ and we get annihilated, help us understand. The scowls, the snickering, because we believe in Jesus. Help us understand all over the world, Nigeria, Christians are being killed. Why? These people are lost. Help us understand, Jesus. Help us to trust in you is my prayer.